مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani Channel, we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever desires that Allah azza wa jal is pleased with him when he presents himself in his court, then he should send salat upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis. And when you listen to these virtues of reciting Durood e Pak, many times you hear in abundance, meaning that in quite a lot. The pious predecessors have said that those people who recite 313 times Durood e Pak a day minimum, they will be classified amongst those people who recite Durood e Pak in abundance. Now, how long does it take to recite Durood e Pak over 313 times? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And if you can spend 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, and on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with you, then it's an easy thing to achieve. So please try and make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam on a daily basis. Viewers of Madani Channel, it's stated on page 185 of Sirat al-Mustafa, a book that's been published by Maktabat al-Madina, with reference to Sahih Bukhari. It is stated there that as the migrant Sahaba arrived in Medina, completely empty-handed and without any provisions and left their families behind, they would feel lonely and out of place in a foreign land without any provisions. And they would feel the pain of being separated from their families. There is no doubt that the Ansari Sahaba did everything they could to host the Muhajireen and bring them happiness. But the Muhajireen did not like depending on others for a long time, as they were used to eating from the earnings of their own hands. Hence, there was a need to put something in place and take away the concerns of the Muhajireen and set up an independent means of livelihood for them. And that is why it is stated in this book that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to establish a relationship of brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajireen, so that the loneliness of the Muhajireen and the sense of lack of support could be removed. And by becoming each other's helpers, the issue of the Muhajireen's livelihood could also be resolved. Thus, after the construction of Masjid al-Nabi, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered the Ansar and the Muhajireen in the house of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the number of Muhajireen at that time was between 45 and 50. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the Ansar and he said, "These Muhajireen, they are your brothers." He then called the Muhajireen and Ansar forward two at a time. Listen to this, viewers of the channel. He called them forward two at a time and he said to them, "He and you are now brothers." And as soon as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words, the relationship of brotherhood was established in the true sense between these two people. And this continued with all of the Ansar and the Muhajireen. And thus the Ansar, they took the Muhajireen to their homes and placed each thing before them and said to them that you are my brother now. Half of these provisions are yours and half are ours. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Isn't it amazing the love? But just the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said that this is your brother, and then they treated them as brothers in the true sense. In the true sense that they took them home, they divided the goods, divided the provisions and said, "Look, whatever is here, half is mine and half is yours." Just think what that would take. But that was the love that all of them had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that love was instilled in them for each other as well by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it stated that after witnessing the sincerity of Sayyidina Sa'd bin Rabi Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala gratefully said, "May Allah azza wa jal place blessings in all this wealth and provisions of yours." So when he's brought to his home and he said, "Everything is yours, this is all mine, half is mine, half is yours," he said to him that, "Just show me the way to the marketplace. Show me the way to the marketplace." And thus he showed him the way to the marketplace. And then Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, stated that he purchased some ghee and cheese and he continued to sell it until the evening. In this manner, he continued to frequent the marketplace daily, and in a short space of time, he became quite wealthy and he gathered enough wealth that he got married and began to run his own house. And when he himself presented himself in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked him, "How much dowry did you give to your wife?" And he replied, "Gold equivalent to 5 dirhams." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "May Allah azza wa jalla bless you. Organize a walima, even if it is just one goat." And gradually it stated that so much blessings and success were placed in the business of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, that he himself said, "Even if I touch dust, it becomes gold." And it is narrated that his business goods would be loaded onto 700 camels. And when his merchandise would arrive in Medina, the entire city would become overjoyed. Allahu Akbar. And just like Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, other muhajireen also set up businesses. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, would trade in clothes. Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala began to sell dates. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala also became busy in trading. And the muhajireen, all of them, generally a lot of them became busy in trading, be it small businesses and large businesses. Viewers of the channel, from these small incidents that I just mentioned, you can learn from this that the teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were based upon brotherhood. They were so great, and how those noble Sahaba, that they left their homes and families without any provisions and they arrived in Medina upon the command of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus the mercy of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not allow those people. That these people, what had happened is they'd left Makkah Sharif. They left there at the command of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They left everything. They had nothing with them, only basically the clothes that were on the back and maybe some small provisions. The sacrifices that they made. And so the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established this brotherhood. He established this relationship of brotherhood so that these people, they could get on their own feet. Allahu Akbar. This great display of love, viewers of the channel, affection and unity. Unity, which is very important, viewers of the channel. This great display of love, affection and unity between the Muhajireen and the Ansar was so accepted in the divine court that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the verses in praise of those honorable personalities. Yes, viewers of the channel, that verses were revealed in praise of those people that helped each other. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 74, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and those who believed and migrated and fought in the path of Allah, and those who give shelter and provided help, it is they who are the true believers, for them is pardon and honorable sustenance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In Tafsir Siratul Jinan, with regards to this particular verse that I just mentioned, it is stated in this verse, the iman of both them was attested, and there is a mention of them being both worthy of the divine mercy. The purpose of the verse was to mention the greatness and excellence of the Muhajireen and the Ansar. For the Muhajireen, they left their ancestral home for the sake of Islam. They were willing to leave their friends and family, and they did not think about their wealth, properties and gardens or anything. Likewise, the Ansar welcomed the Muhajireen in Medina in such a manner that they made them equal partners in their own homes, wealth and provisions. They are true and complete believers. They are granted forgiveness for their sins and an honorable sustenance in paradise. Allahu Akbar. With regards to the Ansar, viewers of Medina channel, they have also been mentioned in hadith, with the blessed hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised them in several places. It is stated that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some children and women returning from a wedding, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he said this twice. O Ansar, you are more beloved to me than all the other people. O Ansar, you are more beloved to me from all other people. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, remember that this is not only an example of brotherhood, unity and religious affection in the age of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established these relationships of love between tribes that were ready to fight. These tribes previously, they fought amongst each other. They were willing to kill each other, and they did kill each other, and many, many battles took place between these. It is stated that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, there were two Arab tribes known as the Aus and Khazraj, and some non-Muslims living in the city of Medina. The Aus and Khazraj used to live with great unity and harmony, but in accordance to the nature of the Arabs, they began to fight.
until the final battle took place. And it is mentioned that the Battle of Bu'as in Arab history took place. And in this battle, it was so deadly, it stated, that almost all the well-known and brave members of both of these tribes were killed. Thus, both of these tribes were severely weakened. However, after accepting Islam, and through the sacred teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the old rivalry between these tribes came to an end, and they both began to live together in harmony. And again, the account of this is mentioned in the Quran, where Allah azza wa jal says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 103, "And remember Allah's favor upon you. When there was enmity between you, He brought your hearts together in love. So due to His grace, you became brothers with one another." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Again, with regards to this verse of yours in the channel, it is stated in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. And before I read out this Tafsir that is mentioned, again, we keep on mentioning this Tafsir Siratul Jinan. I would humbly request that all of the viewers of my channel, those that can read Urdu, download the Tafsir Siratul Jinan or get the copies of it. You know, I've met so many scholars that when they've read the Tafsir, you know, they said to us that this Tafsir is so unique. That when people do, they said that when a lot of people have done tafsirs in the past, they've cut a bit from here, copied a bit from there, pasted it together, and mangled it together. But this tafsir is so unique that I've mentioned in front of many, many scholars that they praise the tafsir to such a high level. So I would humbly request that all of us get this. And inshallah, Dawud Islam is working behind the scenes to get this translated into English. And inshallah, I pray that that day comes soon, where we can also distribute and read Tafsir Siratul Jinan in English as well. But those of our viewers that can read in Urdu, please get a copy of this. If you cannot get a copy of this, then download this copy. With regards to that verse that I mentioned, viewers of my channel, Tafsir Siratul Jinan states, "And remember the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, out of which one favor is that, O Muslims, remember, when you were enemies of one another and you were fighting for a long time to such an extent that one between these two tribes continued for 120 years. Yes, one battle that continued for 120 years. And as a result of this, killing and bloodshed would occur day and night. But through the blessings of Islam, animosity and enmity was removed, and mutual love took its place. Allah Azza wa Jal removed all of your animosities to the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. He extinguished the fire of war and created feelings of love and affection amongst these tribes." Just think of these two tribes that have been fighting for 120 years, constantly battling each other, the amount of bloodshed that would happen. But then Islam came. Allahu Akbar. The teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and as a result of that, the enmity, that hatred was removed, and love and unity was placed in their hearts. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is stated, he made them brothers of each other. Otherwise, these people, due to their disbelief, had reached the edge of the pit of hell. And if they would have died in this state, it is stated in the Tafsir Siratul Jinan, that if they would have died in that state, then they would have gone to hell. But Allah azza wa jalla granted them the treasure of Iman through the means of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore saving them from destruction. Viewers of Manishal, these accounts that we just mentioned, and again I keep on saying this, that when these accounts are in the Quran, they're there for a reason. When these hadiths are maintained, they're there for a reason. When these events that took place and the accounts of them are maintained, it is there for a reason. And this is a lesson for us of what love and unity we should have to us, amongst us, the love and unity that we should have amongst our brothers. But if we look around us today, viewers of the channel, we see that rather than having this love amongst us, rather than having this unity amongst us, rather than having this mindset to help each other, we've got this animosity, hatred amongst each other. And in today's world, it's even getting worse. And there are many, many reasons for this. People have said that, oh, because we have so much money now, we don't need each other. And because we don't need each other, we fall out with each other easier. But even then, even when people don't have money, then there's still that animosity there. There's still that hatred there. They're still looking at other people and trying to degrade them or bring them down, or they've got that hatred with them and they'll fight with each other. Brothers will take brothers to court. Brothers and sisters will take each other to court. Mother and son, father and son, they will take each other to court over small issues, small pieces of wealth, small issues, and they'll be fighting all their lives. This animosity is there. And so this brotherhood, this love, is disappeared. And that's something that we need to reflect on. That the teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't teach us to have this animosity amongst us, didn't teach us to have this hatred amongst us. No, it didn't. And we see from these events that this wasn't the case. And even today, where people, if they are friendly with each other, Unfortunately, even if they are friendly with each other and they do respect each other and they do seem to be close to each other, then in a lot of cases they have ulterior motives. Or they've been friendly with that person so he can sign this lease for me. I'm friendly with that person so that he can be helpful with me when I need this thing. I'm friendly with this person because he's rich and I can get this. So there's no real genuine love there. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for being his friend because, he's a professional person. He's a powerful person. He's a wealthy person. He's a person of influence. That's why I want to be his friend. Rather than having that love, that brotherly love amongst us. And if you look around us, viewers of Munchan, and you see the situation that we're in now, why are the Muslims facing destruction all around the world? Because we're not united. We're not united. And we have this animosity inside us. You know, I remember, viewers of the channel, that I was blessed many years ago. It's too long now, to be honest. Do dua that that time comes again. But many years ago, I was blessed with the ability to go and perform the Hajj. And I remember standing in the plains of Arafat, and I was at the top, and it was the time of Maghrib when people were getting ready to leave. And we stood there, and we could see, as far as the eye can see, you can see these Muslims. Yeah. As far as the eye can see, all you can see is all these Muslims that have come on the Hajj. And every year we hear these figures, 2 million, 2.5 million, 3 million, yeah? After this program, get out your calculators, yeah? Because I remember saying at that time that these 3 million people, if these 3 million Muslims were united, which enemy could touch us? Which enemy could do any damage to us if these 3 million Muslims here that are united? But then, viewers of Mun Channel, we're not 3 million Muslims in the world. We are nearly 1.8 billion Muslims. And that 3 million, if you do the calculations, it represents 0.001% of the total Muslim population of the world. Just think if the Muslims were united, if we had that brotherly love amongst ourselves, then nobody could affect us. And if we were to think with a clear mind about these tribes, that the quarrels that they would have, and after years that once they accepted Islam, they put it all to one side. The majority, in fact, probably all of the viewers that are watching this, we are born Muslims. We're living our lives as Muslims. But have we forgot the teachings of those people that when they were Muslims, when they became accepted Islam, then automatically they put their quarrels aside. And nowadays, even when you sit down with people and you try and diffuse the situation and say to people that, look, you know, forgive each other, they'll forgive each other. Or it'll seem like they've forgiven each other. But in their hearts, they'll still keep that malice there. They'll still keep that hatred there. They'll still keep that distrust there. But think about it. When we're talking about the tribes, that tribes where they were killing each other. Nowadays, we're not killing each other. They were killing each other. But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is your brother, they forgot all of that. They forgot all of that. And they were willing to share everything that they had. But nowadays, if someone sits us down, makes us, you know, come reconcile us together, which is, again, a good thing. We should do this as Muslims. If two brothers are quarreling, then we should reconcile them. And if we do reconcile them, then we should have a clean heart. And we should walk away from the reconciliation completely forgetting. What we do is we think, I'll forgive him, but I'll remember this. I'm not going to forget that he did this to me, he did that to me, he did this to me. And if that happens, if he goes against his word, then I'll do this to him. We go away from that reconciliation with a negative thought. We go away with that reconciliation with already a plan of how we're going to take revenge if he continues to do something. Yes, we've told him not to do this. I've agreed not to do this. But if he does, then watch what I do. And we might not say this, but in our heart, we think this. So this needs to be removed, viewers of the channel. We need to develop that love, that brotherhood inside us. And that is why we're seeing destruction. Not as a whole ummah, but as families within our own households. Two brothers don't talk to each other for years. Brothers and sisters don't talk to each other for years. Mother and son, father and son, father and, you know, the daughters, they don't talk to each other for years. And then what happens, you see many, many cases that two brothers have fallen out. They're not spoken to each other for 10 years, 15 years, and then one of them passes away, and the other one's sitting there crying. What's the point of crying? You've separated yourself from that brother for the last 15 years. You know, even if you are in the wrong, go to your brother. Build that bond of unity with them. Build that love with them. Unite with them. But it's our ego that's the problem. We think to ourselves, why? He was in the wrong. Why? He's younger than me. Why does he not know who I am? I have this status now. He should come and ask me for forgiveness. What difference does it make? If you go and seek forgiveness from your relative, he's younger than you, he's weaker than you, he's poorer than you, so what? Go and seek forgiveness. Even if you are not wrong, then at least reconcile as brothers. And if you go there, I mean, it's something I keep on mentioning on Madri Channel. I was born in this country. You know, English is my language. And I hear this saying, and I'm hoping that Shoaib Bhai can probably, maybe Shoaib Bhai can help me after this program. But I hear this saying that when people go to other people of a lower status than, they use this status in Urdu, naka kat jayegi. Yeah, they say naka kat jayegi. That means that your nose gets cut off. Now, I've seen many, many people, alhamdulillah, that have gone and seek forgiveness from them, but I've never seen the nose fall off. Yeah. So please explain this to me. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Your nose doesn't drop off if you go and seek forgiveness from someone. What happens is your status is elevated for you as a Madri Channel. People respect you more, people honor you more, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, more importantly than anything else, Allah Azza wa Jalla will be pleased with you. And that's what we need to realize with this, that we need to reconcile with each other. And there are many, many virtues of remaining united with each other and loving one another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, for the sake of the love of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned many hadiths with regards to this. In one particular hadith, he states that Allah Azza wa Jalla states, I love those who meet each other for my sake. I love those who love one another for my sake. I love those who spend on each other for my sake. And I love those who help each other for my sake. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most beloved action, listen to this viewers of Money Channel, the most beloved action to Allah Azza wa Jalla after the faraid, after the farz that is upon you, the most beloved action is to bring joy to a Muslim's heart. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that all of the Muslims are like a building, one part of which gives strength to the other. As if we are united, we give strength to each other. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the example of the friendship, mercy and compassion between the Muslims is like that of a body. When one part of the body ails, the entire body shares its fever and restlessness. That we are one body, the ummah is one body. And when you have a pain, then the whole body feels the pain. You know, to give you an example, you know, when you have a toothache, you know, what did you do with that tooth? You've got other teeth. So if you didn't have that tooth, you could still continue. But that toothache, it causes you a headache. Your whole body now can't work. Many people don't go to work, they take a day off because they got a toothache. Because it affects the whole body. You don't work with that tooth. When you go to work, you're working your hands or your feet or whatever. But that toothache affects the whole body. But when the ummah is in pain, do we feel any pain? You know, someone said to me once that what's happened is the ummah have been given a big anesthetic. You know that when you go to the dentist and before they start touching your teeth and drilling your teeth or pulling it out, they give you an anesthetic so you can't feel anything. And unfortunately, the ummah has become like that, that we're not feeling the pain of the Muslims around the world. We're not feeling the pain that the other people are feeling. It's like there's a saying in English, I'm all right, Jack. As long as I'm okay, I don't care about this person. I don't care about that person. I don't care what suffering they're having, what pain they're having. As long as I'm okay. As long as my house is okay. As long as I have a nice car. As long as everything's okay with me. And we forget about everybody else's pain. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that on the day of judgment, the most beloved to me and the closest to my gathering will be those who have the best character amongst you and are gentle. They have love for the people and people love them. The most despised and furthest from my gathering on the day of judgment will be those who speak excessively, convince people through false acts and the arrogant people as well. Which group are we in, viewers of the channel? Are we amongst those people who spread love? Or amongst those people who spread malice. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a believer is one who is loving and one who is loved. The one who does not show love nor is loved has no goodness within him. And the best of people is the one who benefits others. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's another hadith in which the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he saw a funeral passing by. And people were speaking good about that person. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if a person passes away and people speak good about that person, then paradise is wajib for that person. Subhanallah. But another funeral took place, and when that funeral went by and people were talking bad about that person, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person passes away and people remember them with bad words, then hell is wajib for that person. Viewers of Mother Channel, if we were to pass away today, what would people think about us? Look at your family inside your house. I'm talking to the brothers now. What would your wife think about you? What would your children think about you? Yes, they'd be sorry, but have you given them the comfort and love that they deserve? Similarly, the sisters with regards to your husbands. Similarly, those families with regards to your neighbors, your workplace, the environment that you work in. Do people think favorably about you? And someone once gave a beautiful example that if you're living in a community, and if you were to move from that community to another community, would that community miss you? Or would that community be happy that you've gone? If that community would miss you, then inshallah, azza wa jal, we have hope. Where if that community is glad that you've gone, shukr, they do dua, thank God, he's gone, then we need to reflect on ourselves. What is our status in the community today? And so we've just heard, viewers of Munchab, the virtues of staying united with one another, and the importance of friendship and compassion. The accursed shaitan, viewers of the channel, he will never want Muslims to overlook their personal problems and issues and stay together. These are all shaitanic whispers. Therefore, stand united with one another and make all the attacks of shaitan unsuccessful. Because even nowadays what happens is, in many cases, these Chinese whispers, and when I say Chinese whispers, is someone will tell you something and tell someone else something, and they'll get to you, and you rather than finding out what actually happened, you just assume, oh yeah, he's right, so he's wrong. You know, viewers of the channel, I want to give you a bit of advice here. There is information and there's confirmation. And there's a difference between information and confirmation. If someone gives you some information, someone says to me, oh, Shoaib Bhai said this about you, Shoaib Bhai did this, I should not just take him at his word, I should go and see the brother and say, Shoaib Bhai, did you say this? Why did you say this? I've not done that. Or get it confirmed, because maybe that third person there that has told you this is trying to cause malice between you. Yes, viewers of the channel, even that happens. People nowadays try to create malice between brothers, try to make brothers fall out with each other. People are not happy when you are united with people, and people will try and do this. So remember, information is one thing, but confirmation is another thing. There is a saying in Arabic that unity is the greatest power. Unity is the greatest power, and this is the reality. When united and sharing compassion and affection with one another, we can face the greatest challenges. You know, when you have any problem in your life, when you are together, when you are as a team, when you work as a team, then no matter what happens, you can overcome them problems. But when you're on your own, then a small problem can cause a huge problem for you. You know the saying in Urdu, ikik yara, 1, 1, 11. You know, 1 and 1 makes 11. And the reason why they say is that one on its own has a certain amount of strength. Another one on his own has a certain amount of strength. But that one on one comes together, he makes 11. And now they have the strength of 11. So we need to stay united. And this is the same view as mentioned, that if you get a droplet of the ocean, if you get a drop of water and you put it on your hand, even though you took it out of the ocean and I was to say to you, what is this? You say it's a droplet of water. And you'd be right. But if I was to put that droplet of water back in the ocean, now what you would say is? You say it's the ocean. So now by being united with the ocean, it becomes something different. It could become something stronger. That droplet of water, a little bit of wind would blow it away. The heat would dry it out. But now when it's part of the ocean, now it's a force to be reckoned with. And because we as Muslims are all these droplets, instead of being part of an ocean, then again we're losing our strength. Any intelligent person would say regarding many high and mighty mountains which have peaks that met the skies that look at high and low mountain as the mountain is. High the mighty, the mighty the mountain is. However, when one dust particle is taken from this mountain and is placed in the palm of the hand. So if you have a high mountain and you take a dust particle from it, then it's just a dust particle. But it can become part of this mountain. In the same way, viewers of Munchab, that we heard the hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are one building. That if we are a brick, what is a brick? A brick, okay, is something that can do something, but a brick is not a wall. A brick is not a house. A brick is not something that can create something for you, some protection for you. You need a whole wall to do that. And to do that, you need to be united. And if you are united with each other, then nothing can affect us. And we realize, viewers of the channel, that unity is such a great treasure. When one is angry towards another Muslim, or someone hurts your feelings, or delays giving or receiving a debt, rather than getting angry about it, calm down, forgive each other, learn to forgive each other, learn to love each other. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that it's not halal on any person that he leaves his brother for more than 3 nights, such that when they meet, they turn their faces away from one another. The one who is better from them is the one who says the salam first. So early on we said, oh, the person who goes to that person first, his nose gets cut. But here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the person who goes first and says salam first, he is the best person. So are you going to believe them people that say, oh, your nose gets cut? Or are you going to believe the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says to you that you are the best person if you go and give salam first? In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not turn your backs on one another, neither have enmity towards one another, neither have jealousy, neither become the one who cuts ties. O bondsmen of Allah, become brothers with one another. A Muslim is a Muslim of a brother. He does not oppress him, nor does he deprive him, nor does he disgrace him. These are the identification, the criterion that develops within us that you are a Muslim if you do this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in so many hadiths that this is what you need to be like. But we stay away from this. It is stated once that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah ta'ala, he used to go and visit a certain person. And one day he went and visited that person. And when he visited that person, a poor person came in. And that poor person, he sat down on, in the Indian subcontinent, they have these like beds that are made out of wood and string. They call them charpai. And that poor person sat on that bed. Now the host, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah ta'ala, he wasn't the host. He looked at that person with anger and said, how dare you as a poor person sit on that place? And that poor person, out of embarrassment, got up and left. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah, he didn't say anything at that time. A few days later, that same person now came to visit Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, radiyallahu ta'ala. And when he came and visited him, at that same time, a barber came. A poor barber came. And he was coming to trim the mustache of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah ta'ala. And that rich person was sat next to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat that had come and visited him. And when that poor person came, he stood there waiting. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said to him, why are you waiting? Why are you sitting over there? And come here under the shade. Come here and sit next to us. We are all brothers. There's no difference between me and you. Come and sit here. And he made him sit next to him. And that person had arrogance inside him. And what he did, he got up and had to disgust. He left that place and he never came back. But this is how the pious predecessors dealt with it. That they showed by example how to live their lives. That we should respect each other, not because they are rich or they are poor. Whatever they are, if they are Muslims, we should respect them. But do we? It is stated that whilst instructing, this is a beautiful waqi of Yusuf Manchana. Please, listen to this carefully. Whilst instructing his student, the leader of the millions of Hanfis, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Ramatullah Ta'ala, said to Sayyidina Yusuf bin Khalid Ramatullah Ta'ala, listen to this. Necessity, consoling, patience, forbearance, good mannerism, and vast heartedness upon yourself. When you become aware of someone's evil, then make way for his reform quickly. And when you become aware of someone's quality, then pay more attention to him and be more inclined towards him. Keep meeting him who meets you and also him who doesn't meet you. Be good to him who is good to you and also to him who is bad to you. Adopt the habit of forgiving and pardoning and keep inviting towards righteousness. Stay away from useless activities. Forgive him who harms you and rush into fulfilling people's rights. Go to inquire after your Muslim brother if he falls ill and inquire after him through your servants as well. He who is unable to come to your gathering, inquire after his state in case he is in some sort of trouble. If someone stops coming to you, even then do not stop going to them. Rather, keep meeting him. He who meets you with a cold shoulder, treat him with kindness. He who comes to you, respect him. Forgive him who treats you badly. Talk good to the one who talks ill of you. And when any one of them passes away, then fulfill the rites duly. If someone receives any good news, congratulate him. Console them if any calamity befalls them. Sympathize them with if any of them get afflicted with a hardship. If anyone brings the need to you, fulfill his need. If someone presents his plea to you, then listen to his plea. If someone calls you for help, then help him as per your capability. Treat people with extreme compassion. Spread salam, even if it means giving salam to a debased person. Keep fulfilling people's permissible desires. Be gentle with them and forgive them. Do not express despise or displeasure to anyone. Become accustomed to them as if you are one of them. Treat common people in a manner that you like for yourself, and like for the people what you like for yourself. To control your nafs, save it from flaws, and keep supervising its state. Do not spread mischief and discord. Do not be fed up with those who get angry with you. And he who listens to you with full concentration, you should also to listen to him attentively. You know, viewers of the channel, if I was to just take that one piece of advice that was given, I think we could do a whole series of programs on viewing the Madani channel. And maybe inshallah one day we will do that, but there were such great Madani pearls that basically, you know, lower yourself. If someone doesn't give you salam, give them salam. If someone's angry with you, then still continue to. If they don't come and see you, still go and see them. Humble yourself, be grateful. Don't be, just because they're like that, yeah? What happens is sometimes people are very nice people, or it would appear that very nice people, but when someone's bad with them, you see the different side of them. Your character should not change depending on who's in front of you. Your character should be the good with those people that praise you, in the same way it should be with those people who don't praise you. Those people that are angry with you, those people that don't talk to you, your character should be the same with you, them. Or why should I go and ask about him in the hospital? He never asked about me. Why should I go to the funeral? They never came to my funeral when that happened to me. They never did this. And we bring up all of this. You know, we have this invisible diary, so to speak, that, he did this, he did this, he did this. And we make a note of it, a mental note of all of those things that they did. And then what happens is when a situation arises, well, I'm not going to do it because he didn't. Why should I? Because he didn't do this. I remember, and he did, when that happened to me, he didn't help me. When I was in problem, he didn't come and help me. When I had this problem, he didn't say anything to me. When my family members were ill, they didn't come and ask. When my family member passed away, they didn't come to the Nawaz Janaz. Why should I? Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised you for doing it, so do it. If you want to become those amongst those people who in the sight of Allah azza wa jalla praise, then do it. With regards to this, let's see, I'm just going to mention a few sayings of our pious predecessors with regards to this. The fourth Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he stated, necessitate establishing brotherhood upon you, for they, i.e., the good friends, are your support in this world and in the hereafter as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu stated, by Allah, if I fast during the day and do not perform iftar, perform qiyam all night long without sleeping, and keep spending in the path of Allah azza wa jal with small intervals, but the day I die, that day I don't have the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla's pious bondsman and enmity of his disobedient people in my heart, then all of these things will not benefit me at all. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, Ramatullah ta'ala stated, Alas, you desire the neighborhood of Allah Azza wa Jalla with the prophets, the siddiqeen, the martyrs, and the righteous people in Jannat al-Firdaus. But have you performed any action for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Have you abandoned any desire for his pleasure? Have you ever controlled your anger for his displeasure? Have you ever mended a severed relationship? Have you forgiven any mistake of your brother for his sake? Have you ever distanced yourself from any close relative for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Have you brought a distanced person to close to you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, viewers of Madani Channel. Sayyidina Mujahid Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, when those loving each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla meet each other and smile by looking at each other, then their sins are forgiven the way dry leaves fall of the trees in winter. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, we need to remove this malice, this hatred from us. And there are certain different ways, and we're going to very, very quickly mention, because this beyond seems to be getting longer and longer. But very, very quickly, I just want to mention a few things that we need to remove from ourselves. One is each other. Who knows who is best in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla? We don't know. Just because I've got a beard and I'm wearing an imam sharif and I'm wearing these clothes and I'm sitting here on Madani Channel and talking to you today, that is no guarantee that I'm better than any of you. I could be the worst amongst you, and I probably am the worst amongst all of you. There is no guarantee. So I should never think that I'm better than anybody else, and we should never think that we are better than anybody else. And if we humble ourselves and always think of ourselves as being the lowest of the low, and if we look at the pious predecessors, that was their mindset, that they always would think themselves as the lowest of the low. They would always, no matter how, they would spend all of the year, all of their lives worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, but they had this fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla that we're going to be punished and they would enter the hellfire. They would have this fear that they would lose their iman, and we don't have any of this. So number one, we think that we are better than others. And number two, we don't have this fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in our hearts that we need to develop. That by me being arrogant, by me being prejudiced, am I pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal? These are the things that we need to remove from ourselves. Malice and hatred. That's another two things that we need to remove from our hearts. This malice that inside our hearts, we have this thing inside us that constantly we think bad about that person. Even when that person does a good thing, we still think it's bad. You know, no matter what that person does, he can never be right in my mind. That is wrong. And we need to change that inside ourselves. Remove that hatred inside ourselves. That hatred, that malice is not going to benefit us one iota. And so you know what happens is sometimes people say, oh, you're a bit simple, you are. He's doing this to you. He's doing that to you. And still you have no hatred for him. What kind of person are you? He's causing all these problems for you. And you're not trying to get revenge. You're not trying to do this. You're not trying to do that. Tell me, viewers of my channel, by getting revenge or having this malice and hatred in your heart for that person, what are you going to achieve? A few moments of happiness. Oh, I got my back on him now. I sorted him out. Yeah, he's never going to be able to say another word to me. Yeah, I've ruined his business forever. He'll never be able to stand on his feet again. I'm not going to congratulate you for that, brothers. That's nothing to be congratulated for. Congratulations is to that person that can remove that malice and hatred from his heart and continue to love people no matter what they do to them. And this is what we need to do. This telling tales as well. Again, the incident that I mentioned before about information and confirmation. People tell tales. We should not be amongst those people who are telling tales. You know, even if, for example, the example I gave you earlier on, that someone said that someone comes to me and says that, oh, Shoaib Bhai said this about you. Rather, if that person had heard that Shoaib Bhai had said that, then what he should do is, even if it's not true, and these are the where you get the permission to tell lies, views of Manchal. He said to Shoaib Bhai, Shoaib Bhai, why are you saying that? Halabai is always praising you. Halabai thinks you're a fantastic person. And then at the same time, if he realizes that I have any enmity for this brother, then he should come to me and say, you know what? Shoaib Bhai is always praising you. He thinks you're fantastic. Yeah. And I think you should get together and, you know, invite him to your house. And what would that create? That, inshallah, would bond the people to each other. Another thing, that if you want to build love, if you want to remove this malice, this hatred, and you want to build love and unity amongst yourselves, is to smile. A smile is so infection. You know, they say that a smile is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A smile is a sadqah, a way of giving in charity. And if you smile in front of someone, what impact it has in front of them. But if you meet them with a stern face, yeah, that person's not going to have any love or respect for you. But automatically meet them with a smile. And nowadays what happens is our meet and greet is also become a formality. Yeah, And we're shaking their hands and we're not even looking at the person in the face. We're not asking about them. Okay. And we're not really. And again, how are you going to instill love in the hearts of people in front of you if you are like that? And we need to learn to be forgiving of each other. We all make mistakes. Nobody can claim here that they've never made a mistake in their life. But what happens is because he made a mistake, I'm never going to forgive him. And we develop this attitude inside ourselves that we don't forgive each other. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive anybody. But Ya Allah, please forgive me. We want Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive all my sins, but I'm not going to forgive him or him. No way will I ever do that. Again, think, is that right? We want to be forgiven for all of our shortcomings. And how many shortcomings have we got? How many sins have we committed? Ya Allah, forgive us for all of those sins, but I'm not going to really forgive anybody else. That is not right. Learn to develop forgiveness inside you. Learn to have that soft heart inside you. Learn to be gentle inside it as well. And as we heard earlier on, also learn to give salam to each other. Be the first to give salam. You know, the love that can be developed by just giving salam is amazing. I remember many, many years ago traveling here in the UK, and I stopped at a service station. And I went into the service station and I was walking past the shops inside the service station. And there was a shop, and in the queue for the shop, there was these people queuing up to buy things. And there was one Muslim, I think a Somalian brother, you know, had a hat on, he had a small beard and he had the jubahan. And he saw me and I saw him, yeah. And he put his hand to his chest and I could see his lips moving, giving me salam. And I put my hand to my chest because he was so far away, my lips also moved and I gave him salam. And I thought to myself that, you know, that Muslim brother, probably never going to see him again. But just by his action, what love has he put in my heart? And just by me also replying to that, I hope and I pray that I put love in his heart as well. Even though I'm never going to meet him again. Inshallah, we'll meet on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. But that love that was generated by that person, I didn't even know. I had love for that person because he gave me salam. So if we make a habit of doing this, then inshallah azawajal, we can develop that love inside us. Views of Manchala, in today's speech, we've learned about unity. We've learned about love. We've learned about the blessings of it as well. But we also need to be, you know, unity gives us strength. We heard that the greatest strength is unity. But I'm going to give you an invitation now to something that can help you and give you strength. If you look at the example, like I mentioned early on, of a wall, yeah, we're all bricks. Imagine, use the analogy that each and one, every one of us is a brick. You stand all them bricks up and don't put any cement there. How strong is that wall? It's not strong. You can literally push it over. No matter how many bricks are there, literally your hand can push over a wall when there's no cement. When you join them bricks together with that cement, it gives that wall strength. And we as individuals, even though we are close to an Islamic environment, and until we come properly and join ourselves within the environment, we're not strong. So I request all of you viewers and inshallah, join the environment of Dawah Islami. This environment of Dawah Islami is that cement. We are the individuals, but this cement will join us together. This cement will make us stronger. And Amir al-Sunnati said once, many years ago, that join Dawah Islami in such a way, imagine Dawah Islami is a train. Yeah? Join Dawah Islami in such a way that you're sitting in the middle of the train. Not at the edges, because if you're sitting at the edge, you could fall off. Sit in the middle. That even if you get a shaitanic whisper saying to you, look, I want to get off this train, you can't get off this train. You're stuck in that train, you stay part of that train. Join the environment of Dawah Islami. You know, when you join, as a, you are a droplet, you join that ocean, and inshallah, azawajal, Dawah Islami will give you that ocean of love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart. Dawah Islami will give you that ocean of love for the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Become that brick in the wall of Dawah Islami, and that wall will become a defense for you against the shaitanic whispers of shaitan. That wall will become a defense for you to protect you and your family from the shaitanic whispers of, this, of Islam. So I humbly request you not only to forgive each other and become united with your brothers, but I humbly request each and every one of you to join the environment of Dawah Islami, to become part of this, where you will learn the love of how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam distributed this love, how the Sahaba Karam implemented this love, and how this love was passed down to us through generations. Become part of this movement, inshaAllah, to protect your iman and protect the iman of everybody around you. And that is the mission statement of Dawah Islami Views of Manichallah, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, first and foremost, Allah Azza wa Jalla give me the tawfiq and the ability to act upon what I said, and you also to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For you, it's my prayer. May you keep the same.